I came to realize that it was a lot easier to get 1,000 people to give you a dollar than it was to get one to give you $1,000.
Welcome to the Pro Photographer Journey Podcast, your resource for building the photography business of your dreams. This is Shamira Young, bringing you tips, business strategies, and interviews with award-winning photographers. We're all in this together. Let's get to the good stuff. Hey everybody, I'm here with Randy De La Fuente. Randy has 25 years of experience running his own high-volume photography studio. These days, he's leveraged his industry knowledge and experience to build SnapEasy, a powerful cloud-based software solution that makes the life of high-volume photographers that much easier. Randy, welcome to the
Hi,
show.
Hi, Shamira. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
And you know, I'm just super pumped to chat with you, especially with the awesome pre-interview chat that we just had.
I am too.
Oh, and you know, I really shout out to Justin. I appreciate Justin from Zenfolio introducing
us thank you.
Via email. Yes.
And you know, also awesome. Before we get started, I want to be able to congratulate you on all that you've accomplished. I know how hard it is to do what you've done, and I have a great appreciation for someone like you that has built such a great web presence and is such a valuable resource for photographers and for the industry as a whole. You're doing a great job.
Wow, thank you. I appreciate that. Awesome. Well, let's learn about you. I have some knowledge of what you do, but for the benefit of our listeners, give us an overview of yourself and your background and also how you ended up doing what you're doing today.
Okay. Well, you know, as you said, I have about almost 25 years of high volume photography experience. And when I actually got into photography, I started out in high school and just had this interest in photography, and came time to graduate, didn't know what I wanted to do, and decided, well, photography is going to be it. I think a lot of us fall into it that way, right? Without photography, well, hey, we can make a living at it.
It'll be so easy.
On someone out a little bit later too. So I decided to open up a portrait studio and, you know, jumped right in, started, you know, had a space, and I had a mentor up here in Seattle, Bruce Hudson. And one of the great pieces of advice that him and his wife at the time, Sue, gave me was to get into high volume photography or event photography, because that will help you supplement your studio income, you know. And at the time, I think I felt like a lot of other photographers do when they look at volume type photography is, well, I'm a better photographer than that. That's like McDonald's. That's for people that don't really know how to do portraits. And it's such a misconception because, you know, it's like owning a clothing store, owning some other store, and you just decide to not order or offer these product lines. And you're looking at it from the wrong standpoint. You know, if you're looking at it from a business standpoint, it's a good decision to make if you want your business to do well. So I really took that to heart, and I came to realize that it was a lot easier to get 1,000 people to give you a dollar than it was to get one to give you $1,000, which is what I was always going for, the portrait, wall portrait sales and the weddings. And, you know, so after I ended up doing both businesses, but after about 5 years, I ended up going strictly just event photography and really focusing on doing a fantastic job at bringing what I knew from my portrait experience into this high volume photography. You know, so I knew how to do the lighting. I mean, we were outside doing outdoor sports, baseball, soccer, before we switched to green screen, we'd take tarps and we'd set up 20-foot tarps and we'd have teams running out in the rain and we'd be able to photograph. I mean, it was a fantastic setup, but I really took a lot of pride in what I was doing. And so let's fast forward to 2009, when the first iteration of SnapEasy launched. Their software was a standalone e-commerce platform that had this fantastic technology using barcodes that would automatically match my customers to their photos. So I started using it, loved it, and for, you know, about a year later, they ended up shutting down, and I found out they were going to be shutting down, and I panicked because this was such a vital part of what I was doing with my business. And I I did not want to go back to the old way of doing things because it was taking me so long, and it was just so much work. So I ended up being able to negotiate an agreement where I could continue to use SnapEasy. I was the sole one. I had complete control over all the software and everything else. So that was fantastic, and I had the option to relaunch it as a business if I wanted to as well. But that was kind of just never really on my radar as much as just thinking about using it for myself. And then so I used it for about another year and a half, and then 2013 I ended up deciding to shut that down and pursue SnapEasy full time. So that's what I started doing, and didn't know anything about the startup space or the tech world or software. And fortunately, just like resources like you're providing for photographers, same thing for the tech space, for startups, for anything that you want to learn is available to you these days. And that is, I'm self-taught in everything that I've learned. But again, like I said, there's so many people out there. You can really, really get a good education and gain a lot of knowledge on any topic that you want, if you really want to, right? So,
Absolutely.
that's where I'm at now, and I have a great passion for SnapEasy, and I'm really proud of what we built, and the way that it works now is that we're able to plug into all these other platforms, so we're not having to have photographers, leave their platforms or anything else like it was before. So, it just I'm excited to get out of bed every morning and work on SnapEasy and help photographers and show them how not only SnapEasy, but some knowledge that I've gained that I've learned from other people that I can share with them to help make their businesses better. So that's what I really get, I have a passion for.
And your passion, it really shines through.
Oh,
It
thank you.
does.
Well, it was one of the things I wish I would have known back then was just how much I didn't know. And I look back, and it's even 2 months ago, what I thought, not that I'm making big mistakes or anything like that. It's just amazing how much you don't know and how much you don't know that you don't know until you actually get into the weeds and you start having to deal with these things. And I'm sure that you've probably encountered a lot of that yourself too, right?
I have, and I think they call that unconscious incompetence, I think. Have you heard of that? There are the different levels.
I have not heard of that, but I'm sure I'm stricken with some form of it.
Oh, well, I'm totally gonna butcher the levels now that I'm put on the spot. But there are different levels that we go through when we start something new. So, I mean, perfect example with photographers who decide to step into running their own business where you don't know what you don't know, right? It's that unconscious incompetence, or if it's not labeled that, I think I'm pretty close to it. And then you start to realize how much you don't know. And so that's conscious incompetence. And then you start to cross over as you're getting your hands dirty and you're rolling up your sleeves and getting into the thick of things and learning things, and you start to get more knowledge. And I think there are two more levels after that on competence. So then at some point you become competent anyway. I totally don't want to butcher it, but it's so true because so many photographers step into running their own business and they think that, oh, I'll be taking more photos and that it'll be, unicorns and rainbows. And most of my days I'll be taking photos, and we don't realize how much we will have to do as far as running the business side of things and dealing with crunching numbers and client communication and just the workflow that goes into it. And I think it's great. It's interesting that with you running SnapEasy now, you probably have quite an insight into the workflow of high volume
Oh,
photographers.
absolutely. And I talked to almost every one of our users, and it's amazing to me how many different systems that they have put together and how much they kind of hang on to their old ways of doing things. I think that's just a trait of us in general, photographers. So it's sometimes a little difficult to get them to kind of let go of the old system. But once they see that there are these new tools and they can understand this on a different level, it does make a big difference. And I was listening to the podcast. It was Josh Weiland, just the recent one that you had. You kind of touched on the business side, or the on the skills, and you said, I loved what you said. It was that you realize that you're the bottleneck in your business. I love that, and I mean, and that's such a how valuable is
Constantly.
that for you to recognize that, you know, that you may not be good at something that, and then if you can't get better at it, or if you don't want to get better at it, find somebody that is, or that can be, and that can handle that for you. Because once you know that that part of it, of your business or your life is handled, you'll be amazed at how much more your focus can get to where it needs to be, and you're doing the things that will grow your business, you know?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah. And workflow is it can be a game changer. It can be a deal breaker. So would you kind of, I guess, illuminate us for those of us, let's say I'm sure there are listeners listening who are curious about the high volume space, or maybe they're just stepping into it or they're considering it. Could you give us an example of a workflow that has worked for you when you were running your business or for your users?
Now, are you talking like just so how they go from start to finish in terms of shooting a job with SnapEasy, or is that what you're talking about? Okay.
Yeah, because I know there's a lot that goes into it when you're taking a bunch of photos of an event.
Yeah.
So actually start at the
Okay,
event.
well, I think let's do it this way. Let me kind of frame it for how I'm seeing that it's been done, kind of an average way that photographers are doing this, and then I can show you the difference with SnapEasy. So the way that it's done now on many of these platforms, they don't have any way. They are more set up for portraits and weddings, and where you just have one client go in and look at their photos, right? So what do you do when you have hundreds or thousands of subjects and hundreds or thousands of photos when you need to go and have customers find them? You can't just dump them all. You can dump them all in a folder and have people scroll through and try to find themselves, which is pretty tough if you're talking about a lot of images. The other option is that you can go through and manually put these into folders and password them and send links to clients and do all of that stuff. But that's just if you're doing that, I don't think, and this kind of goes back to photographers really looking at their business again, is look at the process, look at the systems that you have in place, and what are you spending, whether it's time or money. And here's one of the things that I also found out too throughout this process of building SnapEasy. Prior to us launching, I wanted to be able to quantify this and have photographers put this in some sort of frame of reference where it made sense. So what I did is I sent out a survey and I asked photographers, if you had an event where you had 1,000 people attending and they were coming through and getting photos, and you ended up with, let's say, 4 photos per person, you get back and you've got 4,000 photos that you need to get posted, get online, and get those to their customers. How can you do that? And how long would it
Oh,
take
sounds
you?
like
And various systems and all these other things, we had them quantify the number, and the average number came in at 12 hours of actual time it would take them to get these, to go through and post them and all of that. And then the next question was, how much do you value an hour of your time? And that came back at $45. So now I was able to say, okay, for this particular job, on average, we're saying that there's $540. And if it's not hard cost, at least it's your 12 hours, that's your time. There could be something else, or there is something else that you could or should be doing that will make your
Yeah.
business better. Now, so now that we've got that figured out, what I said, or what I the next thing is, SnapEasy would process that same project and get all these images online and ready for sale with under 20 minutes once you upload.
That's
So
amazing.
that's how our software, that's the difference that our software can make in a studio. Now, if I was to say, hey, Shamir, I got 12 hours for you, what do you want to do with those? I'm sure that you'd be much happier doing something else than manually sorting images. You know,
Oh, yeah.
and the other side of that too, Shamir, is that when your customers are coming and they're having to look through hundreds or thousands of images, they're not gonna do that. They're gonna give up. Or the other side is that if you take too long to get these up online, maybe people won't even remember, or they won't go back and look at them. So that's the other side of it as well.
So when people use your software, then from the or from the client end, they are given a code, or the photographer sends them a code, and then they log into a portal
So
or.
yeah, I'm sorry. I'll go back and now I'll explain how SnapEasy works. So SnapEasy sits between the photographer and their connected platform. Right now, we are integrated with Zenfolio, ShootProof, PhotoDeck, and PhotoShelter. So for users on those platforms that are doing event or high school or event photography or any type of high volume photography, they don't have to go and switch somewhere else to another platform and able to use our technology. So we just plug right in, they upload to SnapEasy, and everything passes through us and goes into the account. But let me back up to the setting up a project. So let's just say you have the same 1,000-person event, and all you we need to do is set this project up in SnapEasy and generate 1,000 of these codes. And the way that our codes are generated is that they can come on a business card size. And I'm sorry, let me specify. There's two different types that we do. One is an event, and one is what we call a data project. The data project is for schools, and that's where you want to attach subject information to the codes ahead of time. Now, an event type project, we generate the codes, but they're not linked to any person yet. So the way that they get linked is that, say you're at this event, and let's just say it's a step and repeat, like red carpet background. You've got everybody coming up, and it's just, boom, 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 boom. All you do is grab one of those business cards. On the card, it has the code printed on there. The actual QR code is on there, and then it's also got all of the photographer's contact information, the studio, the website where they go to. And what the photographer does is photograph that card and then go and take the subject photos and then give the subject that card. And that's all you have to do. You don't gather any information, you don't do anything like that at all. And once the event is all done, all you need to do is come back, you upload SnapEasy or the images to your SnapEasy account. And what our software will do is start at the very beginning, grab that code, scan that code, and it picks up the code that we've assigned to that. And then every image that follows it will belong to that code until it sees another code or a set of codes, and then it repeats that process. So it's essentially, we're able to ID everybody and put them into their own folders. So all they need to do now is when they go to your site, they go and punch in that 9-digit code for an event type project. They punch in that code, and once that match is found, then they're on the host platform, and then they can go ahead and place their order. But they can find their images essentially in one click, just by entering their code and hitting enter. Does that part make
Interesting.
sense?
It does, and it sounds like it's a huge time
Oh
saver.
yes, and so for schools too. Let me touch on the data project. The process is still the same on picture day in terms of shooting the code and then the subjects. But for a data project, you can upload a CSV file, an Excel file that has all of the subject data, and then we connect them, we assign them a code and connect that code to that subject, and then they're printed out. So that's for a school, like where you're going to know everybody, and the idea is that you're either going to send them links to order their photos, or they'll go to your site and order them. But also with data projects, we give you the capability to custom set passwords. And also, you can have customers find photos by whatever you want. For a school project, like a data project, you can say, okay, we want students to go to the website, enter in their last name. And then once they find their photos, the password is going to be either student ID or whatever it may be. So we give you that flexibility to customize that on data projects. So does that make sense how it all works?
It does. It does. I mean, I'm not a high volume photographer myself, but I'm pretty sure I'm able to understand this. And a reason I have to say that I've stayed away from high volume photography is because the workflow is so daunting. When you gave the example of taking thousands of photos and then how much time would you spend working on that? I could feel the hairs on the back of my neck go up, just the
Well,
thought.
I even have some users and the photographers that I've talked to that they actually go as part of their process, they go through and they change the file names to the student names to make them match. And it's like, wow. So there's a lot of work that's going on there. And this is what I love, is being able to show them SnapEasy or any tool for that matter, or giving them something to help their business, and they just have that aha moment and they get it. And that's what I love, because I had that exact same moment the first time I used SnapEasy. And like I said, this can be for anything, but it's just the fact that, wow, I've got something that is going to really improve my business, and I can see the results and the effects of this right away. So it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that's what it comes down to, improving your business. I mean, if you have to spend less time working through this workflow, then that frees you up to do other things for your business, like marketing yourself, or just those areas that we tend to kind of overlook, I think, when we get caught in the nitty-gritty of processing photos and that
And
stuff.
it's not just photography. I was listening to your other podcast too, one of the ones where you're giving out like the tips or tools for photographers to use. I think it was the 12 tools, and I did something similar where it was like eight online tools that photographers should use, and it was for, for scheduling or for this or for other things that they don't really think about. Don't focus on just improving your photography skills. You need to give your business skills as much attention as you're giving your photography, right? So, yeah, so I'm a big fan of just really looking at a business and thinking of it as to take a term from the tech world, the startup space, is as an engine of growth. If you're building a software as a service business like what SnapEasy is, I mean, you just should always, and I think we touched on this before, that this stuff's always evolving. And so you're constantly looking at ways to improve it for the user and improve your process. And so that whole part of looking at your business as like this living, breathing entity that you need to take care of, not just be there shooting pictures, and it's kind of what takes care of itself on, you know what I'm saying? I see that so much. And there's a lot of fantastic photographers that aren't make that are having a hard time getting by probably now. But there's also very mediocre photographers or that are great business people that are doing fantastic, right? And my argument has always been, hey, if you feel like you might be too good for a volume or for whatever it might be, and you want to be able to, if this is really your passion that you really love portrait work, and then you would do that without getting paid, right? That's ultimately what you want. So I think if you look at that and say, if I can build a business, and maybe and here's the solution too, Shamir, is that you can do, if you wanted to look at getting into volume photography to help your bottom line for your business, and you're currently doing portrait work and you don't want to have any brand confusion, start up a different company. Use your resources, use your skills, use your knowledge to build that company, because that's what I did. And there's a lot of other people that are doing that because, I understand the argument that you'd, if you're doing high-end portrait work, you don't want your name on the high volume stuff. That makes sense to me, and I totally agree. But that should not be a reason to keep you from getting into this. So I think that's a good way around that. And again, I think that if you're able to get yourself build yourself up a really good volume business, then and it's running efficiently and it can go and everything's going great, then you can go out and do your portrait work for free and get that passion that you love for creating images. I think that would be more fulfilling than having to do this daily grind of trying to, sell portraits and weddings and all of this stuff if your business isn't doing as well. Does that make sense?
It does. And for the record, I do not look down on high volume
I
photographers
absolutely don't. Like I said, they're
at
some of the
all.
best business people in the world, or in
Oh
this
my
business, I
goodness,
should
I am in
say.
awe.
Yeah. And it is really daunting when you get down and start thinking about the work. And I had a recent user that was one of the big things, is they want to get bigger. They love this, but it's the work flow and the volume of work is exponentially growing for them, and they can't really take on more because their processes maybe aren't as efficient as they should be.
If you're looking for a way to speed up your workflow and quickly take your photos to the next level, check out the professional Lightroom presets we're offering on ProPhotographerJourney.com. With a single click, use these presets as a solid starting point when editing your photos, and then customize each Lightroom effect to your liking. Your friends, family, and clients will be amazed at your photos. These preset styles include soft and subtle, all the way to dramatic and edgy. Just head to ProPhotographerJourney.com and check it out. And you mentioned that there are excellent photographers out there who are not making a living successfully with their craft right now. Because of the business side. And then there are other photographers who may be mediocre, but they're killing it. And I've heard that before, and I've seen it before. And the differentiator, what makes a difference is your business, how you run your mm-hmm. business, specifically the workflow. I've heard 80-20, where it's 80% business and 20% taking photos. And I know that's true for my own photography business mm-hmm. as
and all,
well.
And all Absolutely. Your other businesses too, right?
Oh my goodness. Yes. Yes.
I mean, and I look and I have to compliment you again. I mean, your automation, your, I can see that you really have got this down, because just look at the body of work that you're doing and all your hands and all of these different things. If you didn't have your stuff together, it would not be working. So I recognize that. And again, I can see that just in us setting up the appointment for, you know, online for this, it was all automated. And I do the same stuff. It's fantastic. Right. Mm-hmm. And you, yes. and the reminders, and I think this is the point that we're trying to make to the listeners, is that, you know, just take some time and look at your business, write down your processes and okay, start with one thing and say, let's see if there's anything out there or some way that I can improve this. Or even on the flip side of that, your marketing stuff, do you know what's working? Do you know mm-hmm. what kind of response rates or open rates you're getting on your emails? Do you have some sort of a plan in place for, okay, maybe 10 days later, I'm going to send out another email with a different subject line to all the people that didn't open it up? And, you know, all the things that are in place for you to really to analyze and look at the metrics for what's making your business better. Because if you can't measure it, you can't improve it.
Yeah. Oh, that's really good. If you can, you can. I'm writing that down. I'm
and that's right what now. I love. I track everything. And you know, with online, you can just, you have all of these tools that let you know if something's working. I mean, we get it down to our web pages. I A/B test things and, oh, this color works better or this button here works better because I'm looking at numbers, I'm looking at metrics. And that, mm-hmm. gives me the confidence to know that I'm making a good decision about the business, and I can everything's validated learning, right? And mm-hmm. that I think is one of the things I'm so happy that I've taken that path and learned this way as I've built Snap Easy. Is I knew very early on that you had to have a really solid foundation, because nothing else is going to work unless you've got a good foundation, you've got good systems, good processes, and good analytics in place. Because how do you know? You know, it's not just how much mm-hmm. you have in the bank, it's how much mortgage you have, or, you know, how much you losing because this isn't efficient or because you're not following up on that, you know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. And that brings up a good actionable tip I just want to give to the listeners right now. If you have not sat down and actually written down the steps that you go through for your workflow, I highly encourage you to do this. I recently did this for myself about 2 months ago, and this was just a high level overview of what I go through every time a client tells me, or a potential client says, hey, I'm interested in getting my portrait taken, all the way following through the shoot and then the follow up after the shoot. And for me, it was 25 mm-hmm. steps. And two of the steps were involved taking photos. Just two of the steps.
I love it.
Which I may do a separate podcast episode on that, because it was just so fascinating. But it's empowering, but also enlightening to see what you have to take, what's involved when you're dealing with mm-hmm. a client, or when you're taking a client through all the mm-hmm. steps. So for those listening, if you haven't done it, please just sit down and do it. I mean, a scrap of paper, do it on a napkin. Mm-hmm. Do it on your computer, which is what I do, just whatever.
It doesn't have to be everything. Just to start with maybe one process or something. But really, you know, it's like I like to bring this up too. Do you watch Shark Tank? I'm sure you maybe have seen that.
I love it.
One of the things they get hammered on, entrepreneurs, when they come on that show, is they don't know their numbers. Right. Yeah. And so that's such a critical part, because you're in business. You're not just out there doing photography. And to go back to what we said before, a lot of photographers, myself included, I accidentally found myself in business. I don't think people are going to Harvard Business School, coming out of there and saying, I'm going to open up a portrait studio now that I know so much about business. Right?
No.
I think it's quite the opposite. And before you know it, you're like, oh, gosh, I don't know how to do this, 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 and this, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. Right. And so mm-hmm. to come full circle to what we talked about in the beginning, is what you said is, you know, figure out where you are the bottleneck in your business and what you're not good at, and admit that, and find somebody that can do it, or find a way to improve that, but let go of that. I think a lot of that might be ego for most of us too, or I don't know. It's just it's an interesting trait to kind of see across the board when I'm talking to users.
So this actually brings me to my next question then. With your own experience and also with your interaction with your users, what have you found to be the most challenging aspect of being in business, for them? And then how, I guess, how would we overcome that?
The challenging aspect.
I know it's a heavy question,
Yeah,
I
because
know.
I don't know that I can identify it down to one thing. I just think that the whole thing is a challenge. Just the fact of being in business, and how do you, especially in sports photography and the high volume stuff, if you're talking school portraits, and let's take school portraits for example. And I saw this back when I was doing volume stuff. I could recognize my competitors' photos, and I wanted to make sure that I always could tell mine if we laid our photos, because I didn't shoot all of them. Of course, we had several photographers, but I trained them all the right way. But we would outside, I'd be using the tents to control the lighting. If we had to have bushes in the background, I'd throw a fill light back there if it wasn't enough. I mean, I paid attention to those things, and so that's where I knew I wanted to be able to set myself apart from there. But to get back to the question about what the biggest challenge is, I think it's just, it goes back to what we were saying, just not really being a business person and getting into this and just kind of feeling overwhelmed. So maybe that's what I feel when I'm talking to users, because if they're coming to Snapeasy, they're most part trying to figure this out, or they're trying to improve on what they have now because they're in this and they feel that pressure. I know what it's like to have a school or a sports league asking for their photos, or if you've got issues and something's wrong, and just that pressure of gotta get it done, gotta get it done. And I think that that's what we feel, and maybe that's something from just our society as a whole now, with this rush, 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 and everything's instant. And I feel like that's probably the overwhelming thing. And I think it's a good cap on everything that we're talking about, is that I think you would feel most in control and at most peace if you know that you've got a solid foundation for your business, and that these processes and systems that you're using, or that you should be using, are in place. And I think that's probably one of the things that the takeaway from this is, what we're saying is, really focus on your business as much, or more than your photography.
Yes, which may sound a little bit odd, I think, to some who are hearing it for the first time. Focus on my business more than my photography, but it actually it can make or break your business. It really can.
Absolutely.
And so here's another question for you. For those who are just breaking into high volume photography as a business, what have you found to be the most effective techniques for getting new projects or
Oh
assignments?
boy, it is tough too, and this is another shift that I've seen, and in the last decade. And I would say I really started seeing it happen around 2007 or 8, when everything, all the housing crisis, and everybody saw problems. But
Yeah, it was
I
rough.
mean, portraits, and not weddings so much, but portrait photography it's kind of discretionary, right? But with school portraits or sports, and I didn't really see. I have always felt that not only was my business insulated from kind of anything in the economy, better than some of the other things, because people will always buy school photos. It's not like, it's because that's important to them, not as much as going and doing a whole family portrait and doing the big wall portraits. That was where I really started seeing a lot more players entering the market. When I first got into it, there's three or four big people that were doing the size of work, volume of work that we were doing. But then all of a sudden, going in to give presentations, it ended up being, instead of three competitors, there's nine in there, and it just got to be so much. And so that was probably part of what drove me and pushed me towards Snapeasy more, is because I didn't want to be one of the guys looking for gold. I want to be selling the picks and the shovels to everybody else, you know. So it made it an easier leap for me as well. So did I answer your question? I'm sorry.
I think so. Give us a quick
I
recap.
don't even know.
As far as so getting new clients, I know that
Oh,
it's one
getting
of
the
those
clients, that's what it was.
tough questions, and everybody faces the struggle, myself included.
Well, you know, and that's another thing too, is that I did see that getting the clients, if you're doing a parks department or the schools, sometimes can be very tough because, like anything else, if you've been in there for a while and you've got connections with the right people, you know, it's going to be tough to get yourself unseated. And so, you know, if you're up against that, start with some of the smaller schools, the Montessori's, the little private preschools. And here's the other thing too, is that we've made Snap Easy only $39 a month. There's nothing else that goes along with that. We don't take any commissions or anything like that. We don't have any long-term contracts, and the reason I did that is because I know that this business is cyclical. Event photography is, and people say, well, you know, what if you have just somebody come in and they use it just one time and they don't come back? Well, my goal is, or my hope is, that it's going to be such a, it's going to prove to be such a valuable tool for them, or it's going to work so well and they did such a good job on that small preschool or whatever, they're able to take on another one, and maybe they're going to be back that next month. You know, we do have users that come in, they might only be doing one or two events a year, and they need us, and that's totally fine because I want to be able to help them grow their business with Snap Easy or anything else that I can offer to them. So hopefully they'll come back, or be able to come back because they're going to have a need for us next month because they got two schools now or something like that. You know, so it's we're more long-term thinking, and you know, I want to have users around for a long time, and I want to help them be successful.
Excellent. And before you briefly touched on service, could you illuminate how important that is for us and our photography businesses?
Absolutely important. It's one of the things that I really, really pride ourselves on, is that we use, going back to some of these tools that we talked about before, we've got Snap Easy set up so people can send a message through the app, through emails, or however it works out. We get notified right away, so we're right on top of it. I've been talking to users at 5 o'clock in the morning, you know, my time, and I had calls last night from a user on a Sunday night, and so for me, I was telling you earlier, they'll apologize for the inconvenience, or, you know, and I said, this is what I do. This is, if you're having some issue or some question about something, that to me is like, okay, how do I need to make our documentation or our app or whatever it is better? So I don't have to have these calls. Not that it's because it's bothering me, because I feel for my user. For whatever it might be, I want them to be able to figure it out or get their questions answered, or eliminate the need for the question altogether. But my goal is, I want them to know that we're here and not just here from 9 to 5 Pacific time or whatever it may be, because I can tell you that I've been up in the middle of the night, 2 in the morning, whatever it may be, trying to get something done, and all of a sudden something happens and I'm up against a deadline. You know, and so for me, I love being able to surprise people, getting back to them right away, or whatever it might be, because that's making our business better, making theirs better.
Absolutely. And I would say that even carries over to our photography businesses as well. I strongly feel that customer service is a strong differentiator from one photography business to another, and it can really help us to stand out. I also think it's something that many of us kind of ignore. Especially, well, how do I say it? We spend so much time trying to acquire new clients, and then we get those clients and we're working with them. And I see so many of us, and I was guilty of this years ago, where we begin to kind of, I don't want to say ignore the current clients that we have, but we're just continuously putting effort into getting new clients and new customers. And I've heard people complain that one of their biggest complaints was that the photographer would fall off the earth after the shoot. And it's like, which I've never done for the record, but I tend to listen and get cues from my clients when I'm talking to them. And if they bring up another photographer, I don't ask for the photographer's info or their name or any of that, but I ask them, well, you know, you kind of sound a little negative about your experience. Can you tell me why that was not a good experience from you? And the most common thing I hear is that the photographer was not good with communicating, or they'll take the photos and then be very slow about providing those photos to the client or giving the client a way to view the photos, which it should never, I'm ranting now, it should never be that way.
But that's the society that we have now, that now that we've crafted for ourselves, is that instant satisfaction, that instant gratification, right? So even now I'm sitting here finding myself tapping my fingers upset because my page won't load fast enough, right? You know, remember back to the days of the 14.4 dial-up.
Oh, my goodness.
I have no idea how good they have now.
Patience.
I just, I can just see my kids now. Yeah, just, you know, sometimes we didn't get Wi-Fi upstairs. I didn't get a phone until I was in sixth grade. You know what I mean?
Don't get me started.
It's crazy, right? So.
It is. Well, here's my next question for you, Randy. What's the most common mistake that you see professional photographers make? And what would be your advice for overcoming that?
Well, I guess I hate to just keep beating this, but it's got to be the whole business thing. You know, just thinking that because you're a good photographer, that your business is going to do well. You know, and again, you could be taking wonderful photos, but take it back to what you were just saying, is that you get that client, you do fantastic photos for them, deliver them, and maybe it's taken a little bit longer, and yes, your photos are good, but now that's starting to get tarnished because you're taking too long to do this, or you missed an email, or you didn't send a thank you, or whatever it might be, then that client's going to go to that other photographer, and your business is going to suffer. You know, so I think being at look at this for the long game. Think about how long you want to be in business and what you want your business to be looking like a year from now, 6 months from now, 5 years from now, whatever it may be. But if you don't have a plan and you don't have any way to measure it, how do you know where you're at? How do you know if you've done any better? And it goes far beyond just the bottom line profit and loss. You know, you really have to dig in deep and get into those numbers and understand how you got to them. You know, and think about if you could slash 20% off of your expenses, how does that translate into how many new clients would that have been for you? You know, how do you arrive at your pricing? I remember when I first started, I looked at competitors, dropped mine a little bit lower than theirs. But you know, I know, right? That was a long time ago. Would not do it that way again. But I'm just saying that, you know, how did you get to where you're at with this part of your business, and question yourself? You know, I mean, just look at your business and say, how can I make this the best business I can possibly make it?
And good advice. Good advice. Yeah. Excellent. Well, we're coming to the end of this interview, which makes me sad,
too,
actually, because I could talk about this for hours. And I've said it before, and it's so true. Like, I could just go on and on, because this is so important to me that we really understand how important the business side is for our businesses. It's huge. It's huge. So tell us, Randy, is there a particular photography resource, a tool online that you would recommend to our listeners to help with their photography businesses?
Besides Pro Photographer Journey? I don't know of any other than this one, sure. And she did plan that.
That was totally unplanned. That was cool. We're keeping it in.
You know, I think just let's just take out and just say online should be your reference for everything. I mean, I'm constantly amazed. I always tell my sons, I say, you should never have a question go unanswered when you've got the answers at the end of your arm. You know, with that device, I Google and I research everything, oftentimes I'll find myself, you know, changing my mind or doing because I found some new information, you know, and that's okay to do too, is to change your mind if you've gotten some new info, but you know, I don't know that I have one particular place. I just use a variety of resources, so I think I'd fall back on that answer, is that just look at other resources that are out there for you and just take some time and learn and take with them, take from them what you will. You know, one other thing too, is that I'm sure you'll acknowledge this, is that I could not have gotten to where I'm at today or built Snap Easy without the help of some great people along the way, and just have gratitude, have gratitude for that, you know, for just the opportunity, like I have to be on your show and share Snap Easy and my story with other photographers. You know, just I think that that's such a big part of this whole journey too, is just recognizing how you got here and what worked for you and what's not working for you. And you know, and having said that, I need to thank my engineer Larry. He's I don't give him enough credit, but he's the wizard behind the curtain that does all this magic for us. And you know, I like to take I get given the credit for it quite a bit, but you know, I'm very grateful that that he got onto this and all the other people that have been here on this journey and like yourself. So I appreciate you having me on.
It's my pleasure. It is. And you know, it's all about collaboration, as I like to say, not competition, especially with photography.
Yes.
So, my final question, but my most important, tell us where we can find you online.
Awesome. Yes, snapeasy.com. It's SNAPEASYZI. Snapeasy.com. And my email is just randy@snapeasy.com. And even if it's not something regarding Snapeasy, if I can help answer any questions or point you in the right direction, shoot me an email and I'm happy to.
Excellent. Excellent. And I believe you mentioned a discount code in the pre-interview chat for
Yes,
Snapeasy.
any fans of Pro Photographer Journey or anybody listening to this podcast can get the PP, I'm sorry, the 10% discount off their Snapeasy subscription for life, and that code is PPJ10, PPJ10.
Excellent. Thank you so much for that. We really appreciate
Very
it.
welcome.
And that's awesome. And I know it's going to be a game changer for quite a few photographers out there,
I hope
because
so.
it can revolutionize your business. Absolutely.
All right.
Excellent. Well, just thank you so much, Randy, for just chatting and chilling with us. We really
All
appreciate
right, you're
it.
welcome. I hope to be back on again and we'll chat again soon. I loved it. Thank you so much.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
All
Thank
right,
you.
bye-bye.
If you're enjoying this podcast, I ask that you please leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you're listening. The more reviews we get, the easier it is for people to find this podcast and search rankings. We want to reach as many people as possible and help improve our photo industry. I appreciate you all. Thanks for listening.